Good morning.
Good morning.
Always grateful for prayer before I preach, especially on a morning like this when the night before you feel like the sermon's prepared, and then you wake up in the morning and you're thinking, I'm not sure that that's the direction the Lord wants me to go. So I just want to be prayerfully thinking about, you know, during the sermon, how the Holy Spirit wants the message to come across. So this morning, we just want to continue in prayer for the leading of the Holy Spirit. So, God, I do want to ask you into...
Somebody's talking, and you can stop that fire.
God, I do thank you for a worship time this morning, chance to just get together. I want to just invite you into the next. I know Dad's already prayed about it, but I want to ask you into the next few minutes, Lord, just as I need your help. And I pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit and for you, God, to just speak this morning as I consider a different direction. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, the last several months, we've been going through the fruits of the Spirit. And I was asking some folks, you know, what areas of your life do you feel like the fruits of the Spirit shine? And are there fruits that you feel like we could improve upon? And it's interesting, every one of us mentioned that we could get a little bit better at self-control. It's one of those ones that just seems to be challenging for a lot of people. But when we reflect self-control as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, wow, is it for the greater good or what? And we were talking we are all just talking about how one of the things that's especially hard for us to exercise self-control over is sometimes when it comes to food. Man, that pizza's so good and I want one more slice, right? You know what I'm talking about. Or right before bedtime and you just want something to snack on. Maybe sometimes I feel like I snack just because I'm bored. And what a ridiculous thought, but I do it. And, you know, there are times where I could exercise more self-control. And we were just talking about how that can be so challenging for a lot of us. This morning, let me tell you, I really had to exercise some self-control. I was giving myself a haircut this morning. And, oh, my son... He comes running up to me and he is like, haircut, please. And he wanted a haircut and he needs a haircut. And I can't tell you how badly I wanted to give him a haircut. I had the clippers right there in my hand and I was ready to do it. And I could be done with it in like 2 minutes. And man, he would look good and be ready for the summer. But there's only one problem with that. I kind of need his mother's consent. And if I did not exercise self-control when she had learned what I had done to her son, she would need to exercise some self-control. And how many different ways could we exercise self-control? You know, whether it's just, like, for example, maybe it's just not saying something and just holding your tongue. Or maybe it's simply not to do something, even though you might really want to. I use food as an example already. Sometimes, boy, we have to exercise a lot of self-control with that. For me, another way I might need to try to exercise self-control is when I'm playing like a beginner at chess. I mean, my instinct, of course, is to just destroy, take every piece I can, but if I'm going up against a beginner, I might need to refrain against certain moves. All right? There's lots of different ways that we can exercise self-control. We're faced constantly with this. But this morning, I want to get us started off by looking at a few examples from Scripture. And Isaac has it pulled up, and my question is, did these men exercise self-control or not? So let's get started with Samson. And we're just going to run through a few here pretty quickly. And we read that Samson did not exercise self-control. In Judges chapter 16, we read about how he sleeps with a prostitute, and he hooks up with Delilah, a woman who is foreign and a pagan. And that gets him into some really big trouble. He eventually was captured, brutally tortured, and eventually killed as a result of his lack of self-control. Let's go ahead and click on the next one, Isaac. David, now he's kind of an interesting figure because he exercises both self-control and not self-control. When he did exercise self-control, it was quite extraordinary. We read in 1 Samuel chapters 24 and 26 when Saul is in pursuit of David. Saul has intentions to harm David. In fact, Saul would even kill David. At this point, they are absolutely adversaries. And there are two times when David has an opportunity to even take Saul's life, and it could just be all done and over with. Amazingly, David refrains. I mean, you might think that that could be fair game, right? They're enemies. They're out to kill each other. I mean, this is biblical times, and you feel like this would be the opportunity that God delivered Saul into his hands, and he could just kill him right there on the spot. But David refrains and exercises incredible self-control. And the results was that God did eventually anoint him as king over Israel. And David was often blessed in everything that he did. And there were a lot of victories that Israel had under David's leadership. But then we read about when David did not exercise self-control. And he had an affair with another man's wife, Bathsheba, in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And after that, this is kind of like a turning point in David's life. We just read about how blessed David was up to this point in his life. But after his sin with Bathsheba, and then he killed Uriah to try to cover it up, we read about his life all of a sudden takes a direct trajectory downhill. We read of the consequences of his lack of self-control. His family kind of started falling apart. Amnon and Tamar, there was an incident there. There was another incident with another one of his sons, Absalom. In fact, Absalom instead wanted to try to take over David's throne. And so it led to his family beginning to fall apart. David had to flee during this time from Absalom. Later, David becomes frail and faces lots more troubles, all as a result of his lack of self-control. If you read about David's life up to that point, up to that sin, I mean, his life was pretty good. But after that, there was a significant turning point. Let's consider Solomon. Did he exercise self-control? Really, he did not. This was a man who we read had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I do not believe him to be a man of self-control. And we read of the consequence of that in Ecclesiastes. He's believed to be the author of Ecclesiastes, and just about the whole book talks about how things are meaningless. And that was kind of his approach with life at that point. Even pleasures are meaningless. Leads me to think that he might have been a man who was, I don't know, maybe depressed. Maybe longing for something more, because everything just felt meaningless. Things come and things go. He did not exercise self-control. But this morning, I really want to lock in on Joseph. And we're going to read Genesis chapter 39 and read about how Joseph did exercise self-control. It reads, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had, with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But Joseph refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went to the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. 'Look,' she said to them, 'this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story: 'That Hebrew slave of you brought us came to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' When his master heard the story, his wife told them, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me?' He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him with favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all of those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him some success in whatever he did." What an incredible example of self-control. Some people figure that Potiphar's wife would have been tempting Joseph for years. And for him to continually exercise self-control is quite extraordinary. It was probably a setup. when she, at that last time when no one was around, that was probably a setup to try to get Joseph all alone. And yet he still exercised self-control. Probably, quite easily, could have gone unnoticed. Even if he didn't exercise self-control, they really likely would have gotten away with it. But even with that in mind, Joseph exercised incredible self-control. And he had to even know that maybe he'd be vulnerable to an accusation, and maybe the threat of being punished, but even still, he exercised self-control. And we read that even though he did get falsely accused and punished, that he was still blessed, even in prison. And later, though, we read that he would even come to rise in power in all of Egypt. A consequence of simply being disciplined and obeying God. Now, the definition of self-control in the Greek is like inner mastery or holding power within. It's absolute control over impulses, passions, and desires. Now, Paul references it, self-control, in Corinthians as well, and he describes an athlete. This definition of self-control didn't just avoid things that were bad, like sin, but it also actively controlled good things, like sleep, food, and exercise. Those are all examples of self-control as well. Subordinating immediate desires to achieve the higher goal. Self-control is absolutely a work of the Holy Spirit. As we consider things that we might naturally be inclined towards, but where the Holy Spirit helps us refrain. Now, in all of these examples that I've shared, there's a common thread of where they lacked self-control. And that's with their sexual desires, which is a big problem in our world today. This is the last Sunday of the month where we are giving to Rapha International, which is a ministry, as Dad mentioned, that reaches out to victims of human trafficking. I encourage you to give to this ministry. I could tell you some stories that some of these victims have had to experience. And I can't help but wonder, if we just exercise self-control, would any of these girls be as put in a vulnerable situation as they were? Could abuse have been avoided? Could they have experienced love instead as a way that was pure and good and right and the way that God intends, if we just exercise self-control? That's what breaks my heart, is when self-control is not exercised and people become victims because of it. How can we be people of self-control? Man, I do want to challenge you and myself to be men of self-control. Where a demand for pornography or child sex trafficking would be irrelevant if we didn't make the demands, if we exercise self-control. remember, part of the definition of self-control, part of it is refraining from the bad stuff. But remember, there's another part of self-control that takes it that extra step, where we actively control good things. And I want to suggest, like, what if we as men, like, if we saw an attractive lady, instead of just simply, like, avoiding it altogether, what if we even took that next step in self-control and chose to look her in the eyes and humanize her and see her as a person loved by God? And oftentimes, I want to try to, my prayer is that God would maybe even clothe that woman in salvation, holiness, and a love that's pure and right and good and straight from God. What if we were active in that approach in our interactions with women? And we exercise self-control in that kind of way. What kind of difference might that make in some of their lives? I want to challenge us to exercise self-control. And I understand the battle. Believe me, I understand the battle. And I'm not saying that women don't struggle with the battle either. But to say that we can exercise or ask the Holy Spirit for help in exercising self-control, the challenge for us this morning, myself included. How can we choose to exercise self-control and see women through the eyes of God and hopefully put Rafa House out of business? That's our ultimate goal. We don't want Rafa International to even have to exist. They would say the same thing. Like Joseph, we can exercise self-control. But there's other areas where we can exercise self-control. And if we look at Jesus' life, he's a master of exercising self-control. I mean, we won't go into all of it, but there's a lot of instances where Jesus exercised self-control. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, Jesus, the Son of God, he performs miraculous acts and does some incredible things. And yet, he's telling, like, demons that he just cast out, "I forbid you to speak that I am the Messiah." You know, or he might tell his disciples, "But don't tell anyone about this yet." You know, and he, like, refrains all the time. And I'm just saying, like, if I were doing something cool and I just, like, killed the deaf man, like, I want people to know about it, right? You know, or if I cast out a demon and just completely delivered someone from, like, a demon, like, I'd kind of want people to know about it. It's amazing to me how often, though, Jesus refrains, and he just kind of quietly goes about his ministry. Have you ever thought about how that's a way we can exercise self-control? It's just with our words. And maybe not, like, tooting our own horns. Maybe that's a turnoff to people anyways. When I'm just boasting about myself, and maybe that's a turnoff. That's a way that we can exercise self-control. It's amazing to me that we read about how Jesus refrains even when he was accused. In Matthew 27, we read about that. And he was silent before his accusers. It's amazing to me that Jesus had every right to be able to defend himself, but he refrained. He exercised self-control in a lot of different ways. And again, I just couldn't help but think, how many other ways can we exercise self-control? And that's what I want to consider this morning. Think of how you can exercise self-control. and be better off for it. What if we were to refrain from like gossip? That's a way that we can exercise self-control. What if we were to refrain from screen time? You know, and exercise self-control in what we do with our technological devices. What if we were to refrain from the temptation of money? You know, what if we were to refrain from our road rage? You know, when someone cuts you off and you want to honk the horn so bad at them and shake your fist. But what if instead we refrained from honking our horn and maybe ruining somebody's day? There's lots of different ways that we can refrain and exercise self-control. What if we exercise self-control with not complaining? Have you ever thought about how that can be a witness in a world today where everyone wants to complain, where everyone wants to put down our politics and the people in positions of leadership? What if we refrained from jumping into negative talk like that? And remember the flip side of the definition of self-control, where, remember, you can also actively control good things by exercising self-control. And what if instead of refraining from a complaint, we actually put out something we're grateful for or positive? There are lots of ways that we can exercise self-control. And I just want us to take a look at our own lives and consider, what ways can you exercise self-control this morning? And how might it better your life? When you look at the examples that we went through this morning, we recognize how exercising self-control, if you could put that back up, please, Isaac. When we exercise self-control or don't exercise self-control, there's always a consequence, positive or negative. And so I might ask, when you exercise self-control, how might it better your life? How might you see that tangible difference in your life? And understand how exercising self-control is just always worth it. Even in a situation like Joseph, where even though he had to face some jail time and resist some serious temptation, he experienced a consequence for the greater good. When we exercise self-control, it's always for the greater good. And so, in what ways can we exercise self-control? There's lots of different ways. In a few minutes, we're going to close with a song. It's called Take My Life. And it's going to talk about using our hands and our time and our talents in a way that can honor God. And there's lots of ways that we can exercise control over several areas of our life and consider how it can be for the greater good. I don't want to go much further, because I feel like it's been a little bit heavy this morning. But it doesn't have to be too heavy. Because when we exercise self-control, I believe there's a freedom and a joy and a greater good in that. And so I also want to just encourage you this morning that when we exercise self-control, it can actually be very refreshing and life-giving. And it's just evidence of how the Holy Spirit can be at work in our lives. And so I also want to encourage you this morning. I do have a heart for Rapha International. And I do feel like I need to be a voice for that ministry. And for some of those victims that can't speak up for themselves. I know sometimes that that's hard to hear, that that's heavy. But I feel like we are still called to be a voice. And I feel like when we exercise self-control, it's just a tangible way that we can even be kind of a part of that ministry. But self-control is always for the greater good. Let's pray. God, not sure how something like this comes across, especially when it's kind of last minute things, but I want to just simply entrust you this morning. I pray, Father, that people will have heard and taken to heart what you want them to take to heart. But if there's anything, Lord, that needs to just pass by whatever they've heard, I pray that you would do that. And Lord, but ultimately that we would be a people of self-control, full of the Holy Spirit. Evidence of your work in our lives and working towards a greater good. Help us, Father, to be disciplined and simply seek your help in exercising self-control. Thank you, God, though, also for grace. And even at times when we don't exercise self-control, Lord, I thank you for grace. But help us to still keep doing better the next time and look to you for our help. Thank you, God, again. We do want to praise you for your ways. Your ways are good. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.